Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
We'll go ahead and get to the scripture, Joshua chapter 22, verses 26 and 27. Praise God. Amen. All right. It says, "Therefore we said, let us prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice." Next verse. "But that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, you have no part in God." The title for today's service is Return to the Altar. Return to the Altar. Let's pray over this service, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for this day. Lord, let this word, God, prick people's heart, God, into strengthening us, oh God. Lord, give us grace, knowledge, and wisdom, Lord, for everything, God, and let it touch somebody today. Bless this congregation.
In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. All right. Y'all see me standing in one place. It's because I'm usually comfortable standing in one place, but I'll try to walk around some just to ease up my nerves, but praise God. for the longest time, I've heard people say the word altar, right? You've heard it. You've heard it all your life. You've heard it in scripture. You know, build an altar, come to the altar, and this word altar has really been on my mind. It's been on my heart, and for the longest time, I thought that the altar was just for sacrifice, And God's been really dealing with me about the word altar, and I felt that there was something deeper about an altar, and why an altar isn't just for sacrifice. An altar isn't just a place of reconciliation, offerings, and worship. But an altar is also for declaration. An altar is just for declaration. A declaration and a reminder of what God has done, what he's doing, and what he will do. And we need to have altars in our life. You see, altars were meant and specifically meant for God. We need to have altars in our life. Some we need to build, and some we need to be some needs to be torn down. And a lot of us, we're in this process of building an altar. And you'll come across this question in your life. You'll come across this question: who is the Lord to you? Who is the Lord to you? And notice that every trial, every tribulation in your life is meant to challenge your faith and belief in God. So this is the groundwork that we need for our faith. This is the groundwork. This is the foundation. So when you have a trial that challenges your weakness, the rock, the stone, the word that you need to declare, to start building, is the Lord is your strength. The Lord is your strength. But Stephen, I feel like I can't do anything, and nobody believes in me, and I'm just a nobody. I'm not really cut out for this thing. We need to go back to the altar and declare over ourselves that the Lord is your strength. Because we can't do things by ourselves. We need something outside of us to help us do the impossible. But Stephen, I'm having some trouble in my body, and I just feel weak. I feel weak. Then we need to return to the altar and remind ourselves and declare that God is your strength. But Stephen, this burden, it's so heavy on me, and I feel like I can't carry it. I can't. Then we need to return to the altar and remember and remind ourselves and declare that God, Jesus, the Lord is your strength. The Lord is your strength. Now, when you have so many stones that are built into this altar, you now have a monument, a huge reminder that no matter how tough times may get, you always remember that God is your strength. You always remember. So, and another example, when you have the trial that challenges your peace of mind, and the word and the stone, the rock that you need to build that altar is to declare that God is your peace. God is your peace. But I have so much anxiety for tomorrow, Stephen, and just things are not going the way I expected it. And this is where you return to your altar. Because you have to have some kind of word that'll get you through the next step. You have to have the word that'll put you in the next place. And you have to remember and declare that Jesus is your peace. Jesus is your peace. But my house is a mess, Stephen. My kids are going crazy, and I don't know, people go through a lot these days, but you have so much going on, then you return to the altar. Return to the altar and declare and remind yourself that God is your peace. I mean, and I'm giving these examples because I want you to see what people fight on a daily basis. Stephen, I'm oppressed with spirits, and I can't seem to get any rest or get any sleep. Then return to the altar and remind yourself and declare that God is your peace. When your faith is strong, it's because the altars you built are strong. Because nobody can tell you that God isn't your strength. Nobody can tell you that God isn't your peace. And nobody can tell you that God isn't your healer. Because look at the monuments you built up. Look at the altars you built up. You now have a foundation that cannot be shaken because of your altar that you built unto God. Jesus said unto Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. So the word that you have in your hand, the book that we all read, the book that we all carry, that is a stone, that is a rock for you to build your altar. That is a rock to declare who your God is. The Lord our God is one Lord. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is the first. He is the last. He is the beginning and the end. Let's just make it a little personal here. He is my Savior. He is my salvation. He is my strength, and He is my portion. He is everything that I need Him to be. He is my counselor. He is my Emmanuel. He is exactly what you need Him to be in the time that you need Him. But you have to declare who He is to you. Who is the God to you? Who is Jesus to you? Can I be real with you, church? Sometimes it's hard to build an altar. It's hard to keep building your altar. Sometimes you don't even have the strength to maintain it. But I'm here to tell you that even when you don't have the stones to keep building your altar, that altar is building you. I say that because look at the man that you've become. Look at the woman that you've become. That's not the same person who was dealing with addiction. That's not the same person who had cancer. That's not the same person that was dealing with that same sin, because the altar you've built unto the Lord is building you. And on the other side, the other side of this coin is other altars were built for idols and idolatry. Altars of Baal, altars of Dagon, Aphrodite. You see the connection here. An altar is a representation of the deity you devote to and serve and worship. Does your altar represent God or something else? And understand that it's so easy to build an altar today, because altars can represent different things. You can build an altar out of a place of pride. You can build an altar out of a place of anger, wealth, what you have. Praise God. And also, if you look in the Bible, you look at the descriptions on like how altars were built and made, you can see that some altars that the pagans built, they had ornaments, flowers, decorations, gold, food, statues, made altars look beautiful. They look extravagant. And in Exodus chapter 32, it talks about how the children of Israel disobeyed God and built a golden calf, an idol, which was also an altar. And they sacrificed to it, and they brought offerings to it, made it look beautiful. But church, God forbid that the altar you built into your flesh looks too good for you to tear down. God forbid. Only one can be built and maintained, and the other left untouched or torn down. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot. You have to choose who your God is and who you will serve and devote your life to. Also, look at the declaration of the children of Israel when they built this calf. They said, "This is the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt." Realize what you serve and who you worship, you will talk about. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? The three Hebrew boys had it right when they refused to bow down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. Because they knew where you worship and is where you build your altar. They declare that that even if God doesn't save them from the fire, they will not bow down and worship a man-made idol. They already had altars built into the Lord. They had reminders of what God did for them. They had reminders of what God did for their fathers and their forefathers. An altar is a sacred place of worship unto God. Don't desecrate it by putting something tangible, something you can see, something you can feel. But it looks pretty, and I can see it, and I can make it look good, and I can make it do anything I want it to. It makes me feel good. An altar is a dangerous place when you worship the wrong things. Church, I know this isn't something new that was just recently discovered, but this is an old landmark that we need to help us thrive and to sustain us in these evolving new societies. People are always wanting something new. People are always wanting something new. So they turn to different things to thinking that they'll suffice, right? But we see the outcome. They're never satisfied. Never satisfied. And it's interesting to see that the new way of doing things is destroying generations. But what Jesus did on the cross is saving generations. It's saving generations. How? Someone kept building their altars into the Lord. Someone kept hanging on to the promises of God. Somebody's mother kept praying for their lost loved one. Someone kept praying. Someone kept building that altar to be an example unto the Lord. Someone kept their altar from being desecrated, from worldly worship. Someone declared and decided, as for me and my wife, as for me and my children, as for me and my church, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve God. Praise the Lord. And I want to say this, but the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal inspires me every single time. It inspires me every single time because when I read it and hear it, it tells me that an altar is what we need for people to see God through us. It's what we need for people to see God through us. And 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. I'm going to read through a couple of these verses really quick. Praise God. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. And I'm going to go down to verse 30 and 31. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy home." Some of us, we have altars of promise that we need to repair. Some of us have altars of callings, consecrations, and covenants that we need to repair. I'm going to go down to verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the dust and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." Everybody, I want you to stand. I know this wasn't the long sermon, but I really feel like the Lord is going to do something good in this place. I really feel it. But church, you need to hear me. Your altar unto God can be the one that he can set on fire. And everyone that is around won't be able to deny that Jesus Christ is God and worship the Lord. They won't be able to deny that God is with you. They won't be able to deny that what you have, they want. Some of you, God is pouring water on your altar because he's trying to show you that the only thing that can set it ablaze is him. But you have to build your altar unto him. You have to repair your altar. You have to return to the altar. What altars you have built up that aren't of God, you need to tear them down. You need to tear them down. There shouldn't be anything in the way of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Anything that is hindering you from getting closer to God, cast it aside. Tear it down. You don't need it. You don't need it. and the altars of God in your life that may have or may have been torn down, you need to rebuild them. You need to rebuild them. Let your altar declare who Jesus is to you. Let your altar declare who Jesus is. We have many things that are gunning for our attention, gunning for our devotion, gunning for our sacrifice, when it's not going to lead us anywhere but to death. You will waste your life serving something that will suffice for you momentarily, temporarily. But when you give all of your attention, all of your passion, all of your devotion, all of your sacrifice to the altar of God, when you give it to God, you will know that something good is going to happen. Something great is going to happen. There is eternal purpose when you have an altar for God. You have an eternal purpose. So I want to invite everyone to this altar. And I want you to think about what altars you have in your life that you need to tear down. What things are in your way? The thing is, you could be an altar away from revival right now. You can be an altar away from revival. But you have to do the work. You have to choose. You have to choose. You have to deny your flesh and choose God. God has purpose and callings in your life that were meant for you. And people, I'm telling y'all, this generation needs some old altars that were built up unto God that they need to follow after. We need our elders. We need our old people to keep building us up. We need that old fires of God. Help us and teach us and show us the way. And young people, you have to choose if you're going to follow. Will you be the one to take the torch? Will you be the one to step up to the plate and say, look, if they did it back then, I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do it right now. So as this altar opens, I want to give everybody an opportunity to choose who you're going to serve, who you're going to follow, who you're going to worship, who you're going to devote your life to, who you're going to sacrifice to, who you're going to give your all to. I'm praying that you choose God. I'm praying that you choose Jesus. Y'all come to the altar. This place is open. God is wanting to hear from you. God is wanting to hear your voice. He is wanting to share his plans for you, his purpose for you.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.